Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, thanks again for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode. This one's called Going Down. As usual, I've got 12 to 14 links at the top of the transcript for this audio. You'll want to take the time, I think, to go through some of those. But I would like to comment on just a few of them. Please note number one, which is basically the CDC now saying that fully vaxxed deaths are tallied as unvaccinated if the death occurs before the 14th day. So what they're saying basically is, now I realize that the government is telling us that anyone who takes the vax is not considered fully vaxxed until the 14th day. I get that. But I think they're being deceptive here by simply including any deaths after the vax but prior to the 14th day as literally unvaxxed, because they're able then to put those in the column of dead unvaxxed people. And so that's the way the information will simply appear. I'm assuming then anyone who might die after receiving just the first injection would, of course, also be listed as unvaxxed. Now, again, while this is technically correct based on their definitions, the truth is that it's fully deceptive, simply because anyone who might look at the information, and just the information, the tallies alone, the numbers, would argue that the preponderance of deaths are of the unvaxxed, when in reality, to hear many doctors and medical professionals tell it, many are being harmed and or dying from either the first or the second CV injection. However, these deaths would not indicate the real story, or the potentially true story, that many may well be dying because of the CV injections, either from the first or the second injection. Now, also interesting is the fact that according to number 7 I've got listed, 15 million doses of the CV injections were tossed because they went beyond their expiration date through not being utilized. And of course, that means that people don't want them. 15 million. But the state still must pay Pfizer or whomever they got the injections from, even though the injections were disposed of. In other words, pharma gets their money, even if the injections are not used. And number 9 above is false teachers exposed, Word of Faith, Prosperity Gospel, and they're exposed by Justin Peters. Very, very excellent and damning critique of false prophets or false teachers, mainly Word of Faith folks. And again, that's by Justin Peters. It's a half hour in length. It is worth the watch. These people continue to live only due to God's grace, in spite of their absolute heresies that they teach. I mean, they truly are heretics to the max. And wait until you hear what some of them are preaching if you've not listened to that. It's all about money. It's all about monetary gain for them, nothing more. They all have seriously lavish lifestyles enabled off the backs of the middle class and even poor people who support them. That's terrible. Now, of course, the people who continue to send in money do so because they have no clue what the Bible actually teaches. They're not familiar with the truth of Scripture. So in that sense, they are accountable for their actions and lack of beliefs as well. Number 12, this is interesting because it talks about more than 10,000 cases diagnosed for the fourth day in a row in Israel. And it's important to remember the word cases. Cases. It always talks about the increase of cases. The truth is that they are testing, and they do it many, many times throughout every day, and they're coming up with thousands of cases of CV. Now, depending upon the cycle threshold number used, it makes sense that by using a higher number, they're going to find more cases. But the real truth is determined in how many are actually hospitalized and how many, unfortunately, might die or do die because of what they have. Number 13 in the list is also interesting. Were you aware that a hazmat team was sent to a crash site where CV injections were being hauled? and the airspace above the crash site was also closed to aircraft, and yet we are to believe that these injections are perfectly safe. I think that's interesting. The government would just say, well, we're just being careful. Okay. CDC has admitted that those who are fully vaxxed are the super spreaders and carrying deadly virus and high viral loads, and that's listed in number 14. They admit these things on paper somewhere on the internet that you can find. But in public, they say something completely different. This is also true of Dr. Fauci, who says one thing publicly about masks, for instance, but something completely different in his private emails to individuals as seen via the FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, that released thousands of his emails. Now, moving on. It is astounding to me. We're going to leave the COVID stuff behind, and I want to get into the scriptures. It is astounding to me how often the prophets of the Old Testament talk about the same problems facing Israel. Didn't matter the prophet, this prophet, that one, the other one, they all talk about the same problems facing Israel. And it's not as if God did not warn Israel. And he also warns the other nations. Jeremiah and Ezekiel, for instance, overlap to a certain extent in their respective lives and ministries. Yet, even though Ezekiel came to the fore toward the end of Jeremiah's ministry, they both call out Israel for the same type of egregious sin. Here's a quote, Ezekiel 23:35. Therefore says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, therefore, you shall bear the penalty of your lewdness and your harlotry. So God is stating in Ezekiel 23:35 that Israel has literally forgotten him, and they have cast God behind their back. They've turned their back on God and thrown him back there. It's just obviously a picture of what they've done. In essence, Israel, they didn't even want to think of God or remember him at all. Israel was guilty of ignoring, rebelling, and casting God off, doing whatever they could to live without God. This thinking on their part was thought by them to bring about a sense of freedom, to live the way they wanted to live. Psalm 2 spells out very clearly what that reaction is toward God by many within the world. Please take the time to read through that short psalm, Psalm 2. Israel had gotten to a point through greater degrees of ignoring God and rebelling against him that they no longer wanted to even consider God's perspective, and certainly did not want to take the time to obey him and his rules for healthy living. Instead, Israel, through continued disobedience, fell further and further away from God. And this eventually brought them to a point of living in such a way that was diametrically opposed to God's revealed will for living in order to gain and retain spiritual blessing, as well as physical blessing in the land of Israel. And this left God with no choice, unfortunately. His grace ran out. Is that what's happening to America? Well, notice I've included in the transcript an image of Dr. Thomas Constable's notes on Ezekiel. And he says there, quote, when a nation or an individual discards God, there is no other road to follow but that which leads to perversion and utter degradation, unquote. That is astounding for the fact alone that the United States has consistently and willfully moved away from anything that honors God. Here's some quotes from Dr. Constable. He says this, quote, Jerusalem would bear the Lord's punishment for her lewd and immoral behavior because she had abandoned him. This short message identifies the root problem in Israel's apostasy, and that is, she had forsaken Yahweh, unquote. Now, Dr. Thomas Constable also explains exactly how Israel committed such egregious sin, and why, because of that sin, God got to a point where he had absolutely no recourse but to judge that nation. And in fact, throughout the Old Testament, God affirms his judgment of many nations whose cup of wrath became full. In a few cases, God assures that nation that they would rise again in the last days, and it all depends on how grievous their sin and rebellion was during the coming millennial kingdom. However, not all nations would rise again. Many have gone the way of the dinosaur due to their flagrant sin, disobedience to God's moral code, and abject callousness of God's commands, which were and are meant to bless and not harm. Here's another quote from Constable. Quote, "The Lord called Ezekiel to pass judgment on Ahola and Aholibah, and he should then announce their fate because they had committed adultery." And by the way, Ahola and Aholibah usually refer to Samaria and Jerusalem. And these areas, these groups, these cities, they had shed innocent blood in their unfaithfulness. Their spiritual adultery consisted of idolatry, and their bloodshed was the practice of child sacrifice in connection with idolatry. They had killed the Lord's own children. All of the things listed above, quote, were done by Israel and Samaria. And we would do well to ask, how can this be? It was so because Israel consistently slid away incrementally from the Lord through rebellion, and because they mistook God's grace as his absence. God waited often long periods for leaders of Israel and the people of Israel to understand what was wrong, to repent of it, and to bring the people back to God through that repentance. Only a few kings of Judah and none of the northern kingdom of Israel acted righteously. And eventually, God came to an end of his patience and poured out the wrath that he had warned Israel about for years through a variety of prophets. Here's another quote from Constable. "They also made the temple unclean and treated the Sabbath as any other day of the week. On the same days that they practiced child sacrifice, they entered the temple to worship Yahweh. This amounted to treating Molech and Yahweh as though they were equal." These daughters in these verses in Ezekiel had sent to other nations and invited ambassadors to come to them to make treaties. They had made themselves as attractive as possible, like prostitutes do for her quote-unquote lovers. They even used the things that they should have used only for the worship of Yahweh to entice desert lovers. The whole atmosphere of the reception was like that of a drunken orgy. And the same Hebrew word, sabayim, can mean Sabaeans and drunkards. And both meanings could have been intended as a double entendre. These foreign leaders and foreign lovers gave the Israelites the wages of a prostitute, including bracelets and crowns, unquote. God essentially states that Israel acted as the whore, except in many cases, Israel paid other nations to help them by coming to their aid in time of war. What prostitute, God asks, pays the customer? Well, this is what Israel did repeatedly instead of relying fully on God. Nothing connected to Jehovah was sacred to Israel, which the nation took and literally threw to the pigs. Today, there is a continued belief that America will be spared. I personally don't see how this is possible. If God was willing to pour out his wrath onto the nation he specifically created, Israel, why would any nation be exempt from God's judgment? The USA is not going to be spared. The world is not going to be spared. It appears that the entire globe will suffer God's 21 judgments of the coming tribulation, and that obviously includes the United States, Revelation chapter 6 through 18. How can God spare a nation that has wandered so far away from the moral fiber it once had? How can God ignore the continued sin that is piling up along with the constant mocking of God? How can the United States not fall under God's condemnation for the USA's continued movement away from God that has defined the USA for too many decades? How can God look aside and not notice the level of debauchery and sin that has so gripped America? What some think is God's absence is really the same grace that kept God from judging Israel for so long, as well as the other nations, yet eventually God's judgment did fall. Now, as previously noted, the only thing that keeps the United States from completely wallowing unchecked in the tremendous sin that has taken over much of this nation is the fact that there are still Christians in America, part of the full body of Christ. The Holy Spirit, working through the church, restrains evil from becoming fully evil. It holds things back. I should say he holds things back. The church, because of the Holy Spirit, holds things back. This is what Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, that the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is the literal dam against the complete overflow of evil into global society. And it is because of this that persecution is starting to be felt by Christians, even in the USA. Others would disagree with me, but most recently in America, that persecution is seen in governments and businesses attempting to force and coerce everyone into receiving the CV-19 injection against our principles and beliefs. This coercive effort to force people to have something they have concerns about is not for our health, but it is for our control. I'm amazed at just how many people, Christians included, seem unable to see this problem, or that CV is being used to usher in the final global kingdom of Daniel 2, as far as the elite are concerned. And I've mentioned this before, I don't think that that's going to be successful, at least as successful as the elite would like. I've talked about that before. I think the event that is going to be the final push for the global kingdom to come to fruition is the rapture. And I've mentioned that before. Think of what's going to happen the moment after the rapture and the days and months after the rapture. The world is going to come together. There's nothing in the world at that point that will keep that from happening. You know, coronavirus aside, America has been sinking in the mire of abnormal evil behavior for decades. In spite of this, too many Christians are hoping for and even anticipating a rescue for the USA. It will not happen. And in fact, it is very clear from Scripture and from what is going on throughout global society right now that things are gearing up to become worse than they are now. But you know what? We should not fear, because the day of the Lord is at hand. He protects and keeps those who are his, who are committed to following him every step of the way. Does that define you? Does it define me? I hope so. I want to thank you for joining me today, and have a great weekend ahead in the Lord. Trust him, seek him, become strong in him. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.